Hello, family. My name is Tex, and I'm a grateful recovering addict. The NA, the speaker statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions, in areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 tradition. There is a possibility that a group inexperienced and Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of the addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our act of addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Hello, family. My name is Tex. I'm a grateful recovering addict.
Hello, Tex.
You know, I'm going through my nervous thing. And this is my second time speaking on this topic. And I was saying to myself, why would I get the same topic again? And I guess it's because the message is that there's something still in my life is dealing with desperation. And, you know, leave it to me. I think that I got it going on. But when I really look at, you know, my life, there's sometimes I get into desperate situations right in recovery. And the gift of desperation to me is recovery. Because after all that's said and done, I still have something to fall on after the desperation. And with me, it started a long time ago where desperation set in my life. You know, I was an only child, and I had a mother that never wanted to take responsibility of having a daughter. So what she would do is she would go to her family's house and say she's going to the store and would leave me. And I didn't know what that was until I came into Narcotics Anonymous, but I found out that she had a lot of abandonment issues in it. She was smoking crack. I could give her some credence, but I don't know what the problem was. But she didn't want to take on the responsibility. And I used to try to tell my family, don't let her go. Don't let her go to the store, because I knew she wasn't coming back. And she'd be like, George Ann, sit right here. And then when she didn't come back, they would be mad that they left with me to take care of me, and they would kick my ass for every day. And what happened is, in order to get through those desperate times, I would become someone else and start daydreaming and putting myself somewhere so I could be in a comfort zone just to deal with the abuse. And I don't know about nobody else, but all that carried with me through my life, it was like that. I always tried to find a comfort zone. See, I had to find, sometimes right now, I got to find a comfort zone just to make it every day. Because when things get too heavy for me and I feel like my back is up against the wall, then that's when I want to break out and do something that I really don't have no business doing. So what I have to do is I have to always get back into that spot to where it's when I was in a desperate situation, I always had to find a way to escape just the deal. And as I grew up, and my mother died when I was 15, and I had to go on the roof and sleep, and I had to learn how to live, and I didn't know nothing because I was raised in the church, and then I met people and they taught me how to become a prostitute. And being a prostitute for me was the desperation of my life. See, I don't know about nobody else, but I'm talking about walking the streets at night, going with somebody you don't even know, doing things that you never even dreamed that you would do, and thinking that it's all right. Never thinking that what you're doing is harmful. I never even thought that going in these rooms that I might never come out. See, I never even gave it a thought of anything being in a desperated state, because that's what I knew and that's all I knew. I don't know about nobody else, but all my life I had to take care of me. Ain't nobody ever gave me nothing. See, I don't know about trying to play like, see, I don't know about doing bad. I've done bad, but it's what your levitation of calling bad. See, I don't know about eating out the garbage cans and none of that. Me and my thinking, I'll go sit in the restaurant, eat the food, and get locked up, I'm going to get 3 meals. That's how I think. See, I don't know about nobody else, but I'm talking about my thoughts of desperation. See, I didn't feel nothing about going to the penitentiary. That was my life. That came with the hustle. See, I didn't never give it a thought. And I'm talking about using. And I'm talking about doing a bid. And I'm talking about kicking. I'm a dope fiend. And I'm talking about coming home. Already been down a year. And soon as I hit the sidewalk, my nose start running. I'm sick all over again. I'm talking about starting that vicious cycle. Because I didn't even have a clue that there was a better way. I'm talking about starting to sell my butt from the rotunda of the jailhouse. See, I don't know about nobody else. It was always about using for me. I didn't think about coming home, getting a job, and none of that. A job? I couldn't even stand in 8 hours of doing nothing but trying to get some money. A 9 to 5, what was that? Throwing a brick to me was my 9 to 5. And then when crack came out, you know, the thinking of an addict. I was an intravenous drug user for a good 25 years. And when crack came out, it wasn't crack at the time, it was freebasing. You know, my thinking was that this would get me off of dope. You know, like, now I want to just show you how we think as addicts. You know, when I was on the methadone program, and I used to smoke, and I used to tell people, you can have my urine is clean. Because I didn't know that smoking was in your urine. You know what I'm saying? I was just giving the urine. My urine is, and text urine is clean. You know, because they never put me on no steps or none of that shit or took my bottles. So I didn't know that my urine was dirty. And I'm just trying to tell you that you're thinking. So I thought that, you know, I begged for somebody to show me how to freebase. I was going around begging people and they was giving me, I keep seeing them pulling on it and they're clouding up. And every time they give it to me, I keep sucking, ain't nothing coming. And I keep saying, well, what's going on? They was giving me air. You know, it took me a long time to find that out. You know, but you know the good addict that I am, I finally found out I was getting beat. But do you think that it stopped me? You know, and then you become a connoisseur. You know, I'm a person that I want to do everything alone. I don't want nobody around me, because then that's too many people I got to watch. I ain't got time to be watching nobody when I'm getting high. But I'm talking about the levels of the lows and the highs that we go through in the desperated point and all that stuff. You know, I'm talking about sitting in a house and only thing I kept on was the TV light. Couldn't stand nothing but the dark. Couldn't even stand to hear my own voice. I'm talking about living in a desperated state and thinking I'm living. Thinking that I don't have a problem. So when I decided to go in the hospital to kick, I discovered, you know, I didn't really know what I had, but I discovered, they discovered it for me, that I had a morphine-based habit, plus cocaine, plus methadone, and I was smoking dust. So I was really a very sick girl. But I had a reservation. Because when I came out, you know, the 14 days, I only have 14 days on my insurance. And you can't kick that type of habit in no 14 days. So I told them, they were saying, well, go out and come back. I said, no, I have a doctor in the street. He'll help me. So I went home and I bought me some methadone. And I got a job in this program. And they had an NA meeting there. And what happened is that this guy that was my counselor in the program, he kept asking me to set up the coffee pot. And I was like, coffee pot? I don't do coffee pots, baby. Yeah, I don't know what you keep asking me to put up a coffee pot for, but that's not in my agenda. You know what I'm saying? And he was like, look, I can't get there, Texas. Just hook it up for me. So I hooked up the coffee pot for him. And I started seeing the people come in. And I kept looking, you know. And I used to go pick up my friends from meetings, and I'd be standing outside. And people used to say, baby, why don't you go inside? I used to be like, why don't you mind your business? The fuck? I don't do nothing. I don't know what y'all doing up in there. I'm not going up in there. So I started looking at how the people look. But I went back and I raised my insurance so the next time I go in the hospital, I can stay 30 days. Talking about reservations. I don't know about nobody else, but I found that that was a reservation. I got 30 days now on insurance, but I'm just waiting to use. I was using anyway, but I thought I wasn't. And I guess you slept on that. But I was using every day. But I told myself I wasn't. Because the environment I was in, because I can conform to any environment, the environment I was in, they wasn't using. So I wasn't either. So this became a Sunday thing, me putting up this coffee pot. But before I put the coffee pot up, I had to sniff a bag of dope and smoke some dust because that was what made me do the coffee better. And I don't know about nobody else, but I'm talking about my story. I'm talking about how I got here. I was here for a year, but I'm talking about how I stayed here a year. So I did this every Sunday. Sniff, do the coffee. Sniff, do the coffee. They said make 90 meetings in 90 days. I said I'll make 90 Sundays. You know, I wasn't going to no other meeting. I don't know about nobody else, but I wasn't going there. And then the meeting started from 7 people and started getting big. I was like, oh, shit. I really want to do the coffee pot now. Now it's time to entertain, because, you know, I'm an entertainer. I start seeing the men come up in there, and I was like, it's on now. I wasn't coming down doing the coffee pot looking like I worked there. I start putting on the hoochie clothes. Oh, it sucks. It's on now. Start walking up and down the aisles. And the women used to say, baby, why don't you sit down? I used to be like, I am doing hospitality. I don't know about none of y'all. You know, I would walk through the aisles with the bag saying, do you have any garbage? Garbage. You know what I'm saying? Somebody in there was going to be with me. I hadn't been on the hostel since 1971, and I'm talking about 91. And I'm trying to show you how the behaviors come right back. The meeting and the aisle, the coffee pot room, became where I was going to pick up a trick. Because I was always over the coffee pot perched. What? But that's desperate hours. And what do you get when you're desperate? Fucked up things. So I get the man of my dreams, my love. And I used to sniff every day, you know, before I come up. And when I smoke dust makes me screw. You know, I'm not a screw up, but when I smoke dust, it's on. I'll do this whole room. I won't even remember the next day. I'm talking about the act of desperation. I'm talking about in Narcotics Anonymous. So I would get high, and I would work him out. But I'd sniff my dope, and I stuck it up under my pillow, and he came in there, and he went in there, and he found my dope. I'm talking about in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm not talking about no street. This ain't no war story. This is right here. He found my dope. So I just knew that. I thought y'all had NA police and stuff. I knew I was done. But he told me, he said, listen, where you cop that? I was like, what? Where I cop it? He said, here, go get us one. It was on. I'm talking about right here in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, how my first love, me and him started using together. So you know what I do, because I'm a caretaker, the caretaker that I am. I have to show him that I'm the one. So I start going hustling. I got two jobs, but I'm hustling. And somebody said, Tex, do you know that they got a precinct in the bottom of that store that you was in? I said, a precinct? I said, when they get a precinct in there? They said they been had it. So now reality sets in. Can I do another bid? It had nothing to do with the drugs. It was about doing another bid. I couldn't do another bid. So what I did is I went back to that meeting, my Sunday, my favorite Sunday meeting. And I raised my hand and I told him I was a fake and a fraud. That I never had a day clean. Not even an hour. And they told me, once I go in the hospital and come out, that they would love me until I learn how to love myself. So when I come back out, and what happens to me, being hard-headed and being a pseudo-intellectual, is that I never listened to nobody. So now I'm clean, real clean. May 1st, you know, I got clean in April, really, but I can't remember in between days. So I said my clean date is May 1st. That's simpler for me. You know, that's better for me. All that other stuff, I can't get with it. Let's use a one day, something simple. May is three words. That's real good for me. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got to think about February and all that. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about, see, because I couldn't understand, when do you count your clean time? When, after the meth? During the meth? Because I done heard so many versions. So I said, well, let me be past 30 days. Let me make real sure that I'm clean. So it's May 1st. You know what I'm saying? So now when I come out, you would think that I would be on the straight and narrow. But I still got old behaviors. Always want to be something I'm not. Always want you to think that I got it going on, that nothing make me sweat. So what am I doing? I'm writing checks. Oh, yeah, I stopped using, but I didn't get rid of the behaviors. But I'm walking around, walking the walk and talking the talk, and I'm putting checks in people's hands, and I'm telling them to sign it. And a newcomer said to me, is this what y'all do in NA? And it hit me for a moment. She still signed the check, but I'm just, no, because you want me to sit here and tell you that I got a certain spark and I got a spiritual awakening. That would be a lie. I don't have time for lies. Maybe y'all do. I don't have time for that. She had to sign the check, but it gave me a rude awakening. So now I started looking at me, because the more pain you get in, the more work you want to do. See, I never think about a step. They told us when we first came in, try to stay clean. Every area does it different. They told us you don't even know how to sit down for 90 minutes. Did they not tell us that? Sit your ass down, girl. You don't even know how to wear clothes. You wear blouses. So I don't even know what you're talking about, the step. Learn how to wear some clothes first. But after being in countless and countless and countless of situations, I found out that I had to do work on me. And that's always during a desperate hour when I'm going to put myself up against a wall and there's nowhere else to go but to the step work. So now I start working on text. And when I find out I'm working on text, I ain't like her. You know, I ain't like text. You know, I'll be like, who is this? You know, and then I didn't know if I was looking at text, Georgia, and I didn't know who I was looking at because there's so many of me. So then I had to put them all three together because all three of y'all need work. Right. See, I don't know who, how many people y'all got, but I got three. I got Tex, Georgia, and Miss Wright. And if they ain't in sync, things is on. It's really bad. Right. But I'm talking about it working on me and not liking me and trying to find out who I was. I had to start picking and choosing different type of people in my life. You can't still be around negativity and try to get better. And 11 steps talk about the more you recover, the different more people fall away from you. And it's okay. I don't run with the same circle no more. And I don't care who like me and who don't like me. I don't care who's mad because I look the way I look at my age. What I know is that I like me. I like me so much sometimes I don't even want to share me. No, I'm telling you. Because this is a girl that came in here and couldn't even look in the mirror. This is somebody that didn't even like they self. This is somebody that never thought they had nothing to offer. I don't know about you. I'm talking about me. I don't care what you see on the outside. I'm talking about the inside. I'm talking about having abandonment issues. I'm talking about having all of these things that put you in a desperate state and you don't know what to do with it. I'm talking about how to work on somebody leaving me and not being upset because they made a decision. Because those are the things that put me in a desperate hour. Those are the things that will make me use. Because I can't stand to be left. I can't take another hit. So what I had to do is I had to learn how to take care of me. Not you. Because I got caretaking issues. I want to take care of you. And I always lose out on me. So in getting with God, God has done so much for me. Because what he did is that when he kept putting me in the fetal position and I couldn't understand why I kept going there because I was so desperate. I wanted to pay people to stay with me. I wanted to put them on my insurance. I did anything in the desperate hour just don't leave. Do you understand how it is to be with somebody and don't want them?
Come on.
Do you understand how to be there and act as if and you know you're lying?
Save me some. Shit.
I'm talking about being in a desperate state. I'm talking about all my life. I'm talking about just asking God to please help me understand who I am and not who you are. It's not that deep. I've done so much work on me to where I can understand things that the average female can't. Because I refuse to let another human being take me outside of myself. I'm not going there. Because my desperate hours and going outside of myself is I will sit outside your house and I'll kill the whole family. Run them over. Because I don't understand why you did this to me. Make me understand. And I'm going to be in the penitentiary with nobody for what? Because of a feeling? It ain't that deep. I'm the one that want a nigga to knock me down, knock me out. Because I watched my mama get an ass whipping. I thought that was love. I'm talking about always being in a desperated state. Not knowing it wasn't healthy. I don't know about nobody else. I'm talking about the era I came up in. When you was coming up in my era, you got your ass whooped. And you took an ass whooping like it was a bath. I know I did. I don't know about nobody else. I ain't mean nothing to me about an ass whooping. An ass whooping to me was like eating in the morning. Because that's what you had to do. You had to black my eye. You know, I was the one, you're going to black both of them, not one, both. You know, but a lot of people, that they try to cover up their desperate shit. You know, so I'm going to close with being desperate in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and not doing the right things. Because when you don't do the right things, you're going to always get what you always got. Try not keep fucking with Uncle Sam. This is tax time. I'm just going to give you a little hint. Keep fucking with him. It might not be today. It might not be tomorrow. But Sambo going to step up on you. And I don't care where you go. You're going to pay him. Talk to me after the meeting. I'll help you. You know, because see me, I never can do the right thing. I always got to try to find a way to get over. I know that I'm single. I have no dependents. I'm supposed to put zero, but I put tax exempt. You know, I put tax exempt for 3 years, and I got upset when they said something to me. I don't know why you're talking to me. What? You know, I'll do a bit. Fuck you. Sam said, I don't have a problem because I'm going to take that check. And you know, you can't be cute with a gun of shit. Can't be. Can't be cute with a gun of shit. So, you know, like Sam brought me back to reality. Now me and Sam is the best of friends. I'm trying to be right with Sam. I don't want no problems with him. But I'm just telling you. You think you're getting over, but it's coming back to you. I'm telling you. So, in my desperated state, I am so glad that I found the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, that I found people like you, that I found places like this, no matter how sick I get, how low I am, y'all are always there to bring me up. And I want to thank you for letting me share.
Damn, she hit me upside my head. Our next speaker, I love this person coming up. You know, he's my sponsor. And I love my sponsor. I don't know about anybody else. I'll give you Sean G.
Recovering from the disease of addiction, and my name is Sean G. I'm here today by God's grace and God's mercy, and I'm clean before the grace of God in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. The program that taught me how to say no to what I could never say no to, that was drugs, A to X, alcohol or Xanax, and all the other ones that fit in between. I want to thank God for allowing me to fall asleep last night. Not paranoid to the fact that I could hear you giving me the finger. I fell asleep last night. I didn't nod or pass out like I used to. I woke up this morning. I didn't come to. How about you? Do you remember? 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 Do you remember when? So you ain't got to do it again? Refresh your disease's memory. Is it live or is it Memorex? Most of us realize that in our addiction, we were slowly committing suicide. You can do that clean too, I'll get there. But addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we had lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail or sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods were sufficient for us. If you think you're different, you'll die from terminal uniqueness, y'all. Our disease always resurfaced. Until in desperation, we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm still an addict recovering from the disease of addiction, and my name is Sean G. I send you greetings from Providence, Rhode Island. I want to thank God for his traveling mercy and getting me and four brothers who are very dear and near to my heart here in one piece. And I want to thank the God of your understanding for doing the same for you. And let's give Chesapeake Potomac some love. What a job. Y'all doing it up in here. I want to thank the Chesapeake Potomac region for the invite. What a blessing, and what a blessing it is to share with someone whom I respect so much and care about so much in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, that I shared my diabetes medication with the sister when we was in Louisville because she forgot her medication and didn't have access. I'm talking about the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. I'm talking about seeing another addict with time who is in another state to do God's work, and seeing her in a desperate state without the dope, but with the hope through you, through the God that we serve, the God that I serve, the God that the disease is like, oh, shit. I ain't never been to Ocean City before, but I'm here today. But for the grace of God, his tender grace and mercy in a program of Narcotics Anonymous, I have definitely gotten a weekend of treatment so far. I'm not here to play clinician because I'm clinically ill my damn self. Shit. The topic is the gift of desperation. I got a really good friend of mine who lives in East L.A. His name is Randy Q. I love him to death. He hits me on my phone every day. And I heard him say something, and I want to share it with you because it had a profound effect on my recovery, and hopefully it'll have a profound effect on yours. He said that an addict alone is in bad company. Why? Because you're hanging out with the last person you got loaded with. You're hanging out with the last person you lied with, the last person you stole with, the last person you cheated with, the last person you had the warrant with, the last person who didn't show up to work, the last person who showed up to work late and used that my grandmother died again, like you got six grandmothers. And why would you want to hang out with that motherfucker, man? That's the person that gets us in the most trouble, is us. See, nobody ever put a gun to my head and say, get your ass in that dope house now. Get in there. They didn't need to. You put the gun down, I'm going, shit. I'm out. And guess what? That was a desperate situation. And as a result of being in desperate situations, and let me tell you something, you can be in a desperate situation in Narcotics Anonymous, just don't work no steps. Just claim to have a God, but really your relationship is water shot with your God. I'm speaking from experience, not theory. This is experience, strength, and hope, not bullshit, opinion, and dope. This is Narcotics Anonymous. This ain't Problems Anonymous. This ain't Drama Anonymous. This is Narcotics Anonymous. Like it says in the group IP, although sharing problems is necessary for identification, sharing solutions is necessary for recovery. We're talking about the gift, G-I-F-T. God is forever there. I got that from Randy Q, too. I ain't originating nothing, man. You know, we want to come in here, we hear something at another meeting, we go drop it at another meeting. You know, property, money, and prestige. Wow, that was deep what you said. Yeah, thanks. Knowing you heard it three counties away, you know, trying to be a superstar amongst stars, you know. And let me tell you something, man. This thing right here, this microphone, this podium, this thing right here being recorded, this will have your ass in a state of desperation too if you forget what your motive is for why you're coming up here. Because let me tell you something, I've had many applause. I just did the banquet the Sunday morning in Louisville. Thank you, Maurice. I just opened up the Cape Atlantic Convention. But let me tell you something, when you go home and you know that you didn't tell the truth about you, Lord, what I'm trying to say is that it's a bitch when you shared about somebody that you know you're really not. And you go home and ain't nobody clapping. And ain't nobody buying your CD. And ain't nobody stopping you in the hallway saying, thanks for sharing. Oh, my God, you moved me. Shit, I wish I moved me. You find yourself sharing for effect instead of sharing for relief. That like your opinion of yourself matters more than what the opinion of other people think of you, instead of what God thinks about you. See, I know that God loves me no matter what I do, but I don't use that as a justification and rationalization to go act sick and say, well, God loves me no matter what I do. Not everything is a process. Some shit, you just gotta stop. Oh, it's a process. I'm not there yet. Well, my disease kicked in, and you know I'm still sick. And get honest, man. You ain't willing. Sean, why is it hard to let go? Sean, why is it so hard to let go? Because you won't. It ain't that you can't, because you don't want to. You don't want to let it go, Sean. That's why you stuck. What are we doing? As long as I follow this way, I have nothing to fear. What are you afraid of, Sean? That you might get better? Why do you always have to cling on, Sean? I mean, just clip your nails and let go. Desperation. Clean. Tex talked about it. I'm a relationship junkie. Oh, don't act like I'm the only one up in this motherfucker. I know that ain't the topic, but shit, y'all lying. I love you anyway. What about when you're spiritually incarcerated in your clean time and the guards on duty are Officer Shame and Officer Guilt? They throw you the key, but you don't have the willingness to let yourself out because you're afraid of who your cellmate might be shacking up with after you're free. I'm talking about staying in relationships because you're afraid of who? You're afraid of seeing her with somebody else. So you stay. And you pretend it's October 31st in the middle of May. Listen, man. Somebody this weekend shacked up and gave up a piece of their body with somebody that they're tired of giving up with but can't get honest. Maybe we'll shatter some illusions this weekend. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be the one, but I just want to share my strength, my hope, and my experience with you. I just want to tell you what like it's been like for me. My clean date is September 1st, 1989. 16 years, 7 months, and 8 days, just for today. I'm a one-timer in Narcotics Anonymous. So for those people that are like, you used, oh, it's okay, just come back. It's not okay. Stop telling people that it's okay that they used. It's okay that they're back, but it ain't okay that they used. You know? We need to, like, put a foot in their ass and say, man, listen, man, you know, this shit got to stop. You know? It's time for some tough love. Tough love is better than no love, but all that, oh, it's okay, oh, it's okay. You know, listen, hey, don't get me. If this is your 93rd time coming back, you ain't got to do 94. If this is your first time here, this can be your last time here. I'm living proof. I'm a first-timer in Narcotics Anonymous. I got here when I was 22 years old, and I'll be 40 years old this year. I'm looking good as a motherfucker, too. That's confidence. That's not cockiness. Because you know what? If I tell myself I ain't shit, that's exactly what I am. If I tell myself I am nothing, that's exactly what I'm going to display. Nothing. If I believe it, I achieve it. Getting back to what I was talking about. 8 months and 1 week ago, I found myself in a desperate situation. I'm talking a 12-step member. spoken over 140 conventions. I'm talking like, you know, got a God in his life, you know, single father, you know, raising his daughter just like my sponsor. You know, that's why I chose this man to be my sponsor. You know, and he'll tell you his story when he does the banquet. But I just want to let you know, right, that when you have an 11-step experience in your life and God has called you, to seek his face and lie in his bosom. And even though your flesh tells you and has you believing that where you're at is the best place you've ever been, it still can't even come close to where God is trying to get you to go. Listen, when you seek knowledge of God's will and he gives you the power to carry it out, it doesn't mean you're going to like where you end up. When God has raised you to a level of consciousness and has called you to a higher level of learning and a higher level of obedience, you better get used to not living in a comfort zone. I'm talking about that I was in a relationship with a young lady whom I cared about so much. I became a licensed foster parent. We were taking care of 9 kids. There was one little baby named Jessica who is 3 months old, who's going to be 3 years old in a couple of weeks. And I helped raise this baby, man. I said, God, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? He said, Sean, what I want you to do is leave. This may be where you want to be, but this is not what I want for you. I'm talking about following what your God tells you to do, as opposed to treating God like he's Monty Hall, let's make a deal. But God, I'm doing all this spiritual stuff in all these other areas to compensate for what it is, trying to justify and rationalize what you want to do as opposed to what God says you better do. And for 8 months, I held on as long as I could. But let me tell you something. When God says it's time, regardless of how much you've done, no matter how good you make it, when God says it's time to go, it's time to go. And that was 8 months and 1 week ago. And I need to tell you, the gifts that have come as a result of that desperation coming into my life. You're talking about a guy, right, who in 16 and a half years of being in Narcotics Anonymous had been in 8 relationships. And all my relationships would last 2 to 3 years. You know why all my relationships would last 2 to 3 years? Because I wanted God to bring me a woman that would bring something to the table, but I didn't even own a table of my own. Yeah, I had the tablecloth, though. You know, I could set some plates and some silverware down. See, because I thought that love was a physical thing. A lot of us are looking for love and settling for sex. I'm not the one. I want to tell you that like the last 8 months, God had removed my desire to have any type of physical sexual intimacy with self, never mind with another person, because I chose to stay despite what God was telling me to do. God started removing things from me to remove the desire to use anything outside of myself to justify what I was doing to myself. And of course, this was infecting the person that I was with. And of course, a lot of problems arose. So I had to make a decision. And I had to do what God said do. I haven't even been on a date in 8 months. I'm not crying. Pity. It's been so beautiful. Let me tell you something. It's not that. I never wanted. It wasn't that, well, I don't want to be alone. I didn't believe that I was capable. There's a difference between resignation and surrender. I had resigned many times. Yeah, I'll resign, you know, like a job position. Oh, yes, well, I'm resigning. I've got another position elsewhere, thinking for the company. Like a 2-week notice. That's what I was doing in relationships. Well, I resigned from the relationship. I found a better one. Oh, thank you. I'm talking about surrender now. Not having to fight the force, the power, the love of God that's telling me, brother, you need to get, brother, listen, you ain't spent no time with you. How you expect somebody to spend time with you when you ain't even willing to spend time with me? You jacking off and yacking off and hooping and hollering on. Listen, that ain't what I want for you. Sean, why don't you show me how much you love me as opposed to telling people in Narcotics Anonymous how much you love me? Show me when they ain't looking, Sean. My recovery counts when nobody else is looking. I don't know about you. Well, it's real easy to be on your best behavior here. Well, for some of us. Somebody got some extra writing material this weekend, I'm sure. But I'm going to keep it on the me. Because let's face it. In this process, we cause each other harm. Tex talked about it. See, I have an 8-step list of what I've done to you people since I've been here. Oh, what does he mean? However, we have all caused harm during our recovery. Remember, whether we intended to or not, it doesn't matter. In fact, we've probably all caused harm to people with whom we share our recovery, other NA members. We may have gossiped about them. Oh, girl. I know you saw that dress you had on at the meeting. Oh, well, you know who our sponsor is anyway. Oh, yeah. But you call yourself a child of God. Withdrawn from them? She relapsed. I ain't picking her up. I don't know if she got a stem in my pocket. I drop it in my car, we get pulled over. Next thing I know, I'm getting locked up. You can't help an addict, don't hurt one. Responded with insensitivity to their pain. Damn, man. We need to go to meet another side of town. You know she's going to be crying about that nigga. She's going to be crying about that relationship that, you know, again. We've been hearing it for 3 weeks. I don't want to go to that meeting here again, you know. We need to go to the other meeting. Instead of saying, hey, sister, why don't you come with us to have some coffee? Hey, brother, why don't you come hang out with us? Interfered in a sponsorship relationship. Oh, your sponsor ain't got you on that step? Oh, maybe you need me to sponsor you. We some sick people, man. Oh, I want to speak at conventions. Maybe if I ask him to be my sponsor because he speaks at conventions, they'll start asking me. Envy and jealousy get you nowhere. You got to do the work. This ain't for everybody. Listen, if everybody was supposed to be great speakers in Narcotics Anonymous, who the fuck would make the coffee? Everybody wants to share, but nobody wants to listen. Everybody wants to do this. Listen, when you do this, you got a target on top of the target that's already there. Because the closer you get to God and more you incorporate principles, the bigger the bullseye on your back. Now that you do this, everybody's really going to start talking about you because they ain't doing this. We may have tried to control a sponsee's behavior. Listen, if you don't stop acting out, you need to move on. What happened to, until in desperation, we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. Each other in Narcotics Anonymous. We may have behaved like an ingrate with a sponsor. Stolen 7 tradition money. My Con Air bill. Oh, you know what? I got the group's money. I'll just put it back before the next business meeting. That's still stealing. That's God's money, not mine. We may have manipulated people by using our clean time and a source of credibility and a service argument. Well, I've been here this long, and this is how we always did it, and that ain't going to change, and if you don't know nothing, you only got a couple years, you ain't been here before me, this is the way the area's always operated, and this is the way it's going to operate, buddy. What happened to the only constant change in Narcotics Anonymous is change. We're beyond the little white book and beyond the basic text. We've grown. We have new literature because this disease is a bad, this is a bad boy, man. The more literature we come out with, the more cunning and baffling it gets. So God's given us more tools. He's elevated our level of learning. He's given us more. You know, there's nothing wrong with more recovery. There's something wrong with more relapse, you know. Or, oh, here we go. And last but not least, oh, we may have sexually exploited a newcomer, to name a few relatively common examples. I guess I'm all alone in that one. I'm so glad that I fit the literature. I'm so glad that I fit the literature. Because I have participated at some point in my process in every single one of those behaviors. And you know what? They all drove me to a point of desperation. Because you know what? When my ass is on fire, I'm ready to do some work. But through the step process, right, particularly the sixth and seventh step, by becoming entirely ready to have God remove all, not just the ones that I'm ready for him to, all my defects of character, now I'm willing to be obedient as opposed to being sacrificial. Because I've learned that obedience is better than sacrifice. That's not to say that I don't get caught up in ideas and attitudes and find myself in pain. Let me tell you, life on life's terms is pain. What I do to me is drama. I'm trying to live a drama-free life, and I have lived a drama-free life pretty much as of late. But you know what? I'm still sleeping with the enemy. Even though I haven't been on a date in 8 months, even though I've rested my head on a pillow at night and woke up with the same person in the morning, even though I've denied myself instant gratification after instant gratification and have said no and said no, I'm still sleeping with the enemy. Because the more I get with God and the more I'm alone, the more God shows me, buddy, you really ain't all that, a bag of chips and a 2 liter Pepsi. Fuck your wet napkin. Because I think now, because I have been abstinent, I haven't been on a date in 8 months, that, go get yours, dog, it's time. God's going to let me know when it's time. You know? God's going to let me know when it's time. You know, I don't know when it's time. I really don't. I wish I, sometimes I wish I did, but I know the price to pay. Somebody was talking earlier about knowing the difference between God's voice and Sean's voice. Because I'm manipulating, spiritual manipulation, George. I'll tell myself something and say, well, God told me. This must be God's will for me. Knowing it's Sean's will for Sean, you know. But some of the gifts that desperation has brought, by me surrendering to the program and fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, I've gotten a lot of wonderful gifts around here. I've got a lot of beautiful, loving, and caring friends that are in this room, you know. I have a beautiful life today in spite of myself, you know. I have a 14-year-old daughter. You know, I've been a single parent most of my recovery. I was awarded sole custody of my daughter when she was 4 years old. But, I mean, I was there the whole time she was born anyway. It's just that her mother chose to put the long white lab coat on and go back out the door and do some more research. You know, and she hasn't made it back here yet. And when we have a circle for a moment of silence, that's one of the first people's face that I picture. You know why? Because you people prayed me up in here. In the end, what I wanted most to stop in my addiction was I wanted that feeling to go away when I looked at myself in the mirror. That thing that went up in me when I would look at myself, that self-hate, that, like, you ain't, man, you know what I'm talking about. That feeling came back in recovery where I looked at myself in the mirror. Not dope sick, no burnt lips, no chapped fingertips, not going over to the dirty pile of clothes, picking out the cleanest pair of jeans and looking at myself in the mirror and saying, man, you ain't shit. Because if I wanted to stop feeling shitty, I had to stop doing shitty things. Not working on myself is a shitty thing. Not getting honest with Sean about Sean is a shitty thing. Saying that I got a God in my life and living like God don't exist when you ain't around is a shitty thing. Carrying the message and living a mess. Does my message match my behavior? I need to check myself before I wreck myself. I don't use this as a ways and means to get girls' phone numbers. Spiritual manipulation. Oh, I like the way you share. Can you come to my home group? Yeah. Y'all do that. This is God's work, man. This is God's work. I haven't had to live like that in so long, but it like disgusts me. It like disgusts me because I came to a place and a point where that like I got tired of living the way that I was living clean and telling you that I was clean, but my behavior was foul. And what kept me living foul was I didn't have the courage to change the person that I could and have the wisdom to know that it was me. Somebody's in this room assassinating my character right now. Well, you better talk to your God because we prayed before we came up in here. So whatever I'm saying is what your God is trying to tell you, you need to look at. Because guess what? When I look at you, I'm in relapse. When I look at me, I'm in recovery. I got to start with the man in the mirror. I got to ask him to make a change. I'm going to wrap this up in 2 minutes. One of the gifts that I've been given is I got 12 steps and I got 12 traditions. And we were on our way here to the convention. And we stopped at a place to get some coffee. And, I wanted to get here. I'm all anxious. I'm all obsessive and compulsive. I want to see all my friends, from around the country that I only get to see, when I come here and, damn, let's go to drive. We're taking all this time. And, but God, man, God showed up, man. We went inside the place. And this young lady said, "Hey, Sean, how are you?" Came up to me, gave me a hug and a kiss. It was a young lady that spent the last 3 years of my addiction with me. And was with me up until 5 months in this process. I'm talking about, I had never harmed anybody like I had harmed this young lady. I had took her innocence. I had turned her out spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. Because of how sick I was, she took on my sick traits. And she didn't necessarily use, but she got in the pattern of allowing herself to be used. I didn't come to Narcotics Anonymous because I was tired of using drugs. I came here because I was tired of drugs using me. Starting out the night as the pimp and always ending up as the trick. And she said, "How have you been?" Now, I did a 9-step with this individual back in 1993, and I hadn't seen her since. So, amends are for us. They're not for the other person. Not everybody's going to accept the fact that, yeah, you a 12-step member, you doing this, and you living goodwill and, giving back to society and all that. Some people don't want to hear that shit. And at the time, she said, "Well, that's good. It's okay. I understand. Good for you. Just keep doing what you're doing." And, her demeanor let me know that she was okay and that my amends had been accepted 13 years prior. But there was still guilt, shame over the way I treated this individual. And I went outside and, I was smoking a cigar and they were smoking cigarettes and she called me back in. And they, of course, they're teasing me. Uh-oh, here it comes. Uh-oh. You want to borrow my pen? They're saying, sponsees, So I do the same shit to them, therapeutic value, We mess with each other, play around. And this fear came over me. I thought she was going to say, "Oh, by the way, there's one more thing I forgot." She said, "I wanted to share something with you. I'm talking about the gift of desperation. I'm talking about the gifts that come with being desperate and finding yourself in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous trying to improve your behavior as opposed to at one time having disapprovable behavior." She said, "I wanted to tell you that I'm sorry that your mother died. I saw it in the newspaper." She said, "I know how much you loved your mother. And I know how much your mother loved you. And I'm so sorry that that happened to you. She said, but I wanted to share with you that me and my husband were out to eat with my daughter at a Chinese restaurant. And I saw your mother and father out with your daughter. And I had spoken to your dad, and he was very happy to see me, and I asked him how you were doing. He said that you were doing good and everything else. And she said, your daughter was trying to get ice cream, and she couldn't reach the scoop. And my daughter went over to your daughter and picked her up and helped your daughter get the ice cream scoop so she could make ice cream. She said, I thought you just might have wanted to know that. That even though we separated, that our children are growing up together. And I'm so proud of what you're doing. And congratulations on the life that you're living. And I wish you nothing but the best. I'm talking about the gift of desperation and the gifts that come as a result of being in a desperate situation. I'm talking about how somebody's misery was the down payment on our freedom. Somebody's pain was the down payment on our freedom. Somebody's suffering was the down payment on our freedom. And we owe it to the person coming through the door. And for the ones that are still here, that are acting like they're still coming through the door, we need to reach out and extend ourselves and help them by guiding them towards God in a step instead of putting them on the front page of the NA Gazette. Because it's only until in desperation that we seek help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. Your behavior will put you in desperation. Your intolerance and impatience towards spiritual principles will put you in desperation. And it's only through each other that we can get the help. So if you're struggling, tell somebody you're struggling. My biggest struggle is when I'm struggling, not having the courage to tell someone that I'm struggling. Because I've allowed what you think about me to matter more than what I'm supposed to think about myself. Thank you, Chesapeake Potomac Region. I hope that God used Tex and me, or Tex or me, in this 445 meeting to make a little bit of a difference in your life. Hopefully you have the willingness to make another Narcotics Anonymous meeting in another city and another place at another time by something that your God shared through us this early evening. And if nobody's told you that they love you today, it's because you ain't hanging out with the right people.
See that.
Come and hang with us. We love you. We're here for you. God bless, and thanks for letting me share.